Welcome to The Savvy Session, your go-to podcast about elevating your life and business, sprinkled with a little bit of fun. This podcast is brought to you by Elevate Performance Solutions and Revolut IT Services. And now, here are your hosts, Kirsten Ramos and Paula Kircher.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to The Savvy Session. Today, we'll be discussing navigating life in business and the advantages that arise for women with or without children at home and how we can maximize those advantages.
Today, we are joined by Danny Kimball, an inspiring marketing consultant whom I have had the opportunity to get to know over the past few months and now have the pleasure of calling myself one of her clients. Danny is not only a marketing consultant, but also a brand strategist and copywriter. She is the founder and CEO of Azelli Marketing, and she is passionate about helping small and mid-sized businesses build brand and marketing strategies. In addition to running her own business, Danny and her husband reside in Ohio, and she is an amazing mom to four adorable children. A little fun fact about how I met Danny: it is through the power of networking on LinkedIn. She is friends with someone I'm connected with on LinkedIn, and I saw one of her posts on marketing. I started to follow her content, and I really liked her style of writing, so I then reached out to her to talk about a marketing campaign for my own business. She was so fun and easy to talk with and had great ideas and suggestions, and now I'm officially one of her clients. When Kirsten and I were discussing potential guests for our podcast, I said to Kirsten, I really hope we can have Danny on as one of our guests, as she's like us. She came from the corporate world, made the giant leap to starting her own business. And so I am excited to have Danny here as our guest today and can't wait for you to learn more about her and her business. Hello and welcome, Danny.
Hi, thanks so much for having me today.
You know, Danny, when we were doing our pre-meeting, I was stunned to find that you not only are a mom to one or two children, but four, as Paula mentioned. So congratulations on not only having a successful family, but also a successful business. I'm really interested in what brought you to decide to strike out on your own, as many of us women, especially in the last few years, have decided to. But tell me a little bit about your choices, your decision to go out on your own.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. And something that I'd say was such a hard decision for me within this past year. I just stepped down from my corporate role in May. So I've only been in, you know, about a year now, actually. It'll be a year next week that I've been at this solopreneurship journey. And like I said, hard decision to make because I was working for an organization and that I loved. I had coworkers that I loved. I built great relationships, great mentors, great leadership. I learned a ton. And I really enjoyed being a part of the team and having a team, right? But at the same time, as a mom of four, I was actually at this time last year pregnant with my fourth child. And we just started to think like, you know, what do we want this lifestyle to really look like for our family? And so let me just step back to high school. And when I was in high school, I followed the career trajectory following high school was a very traditional path, I'd say. The next logical step once you graduate high school is to go into college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, at 17, figure out exactly what you want to do with your life. You figure out that whatever that ideal career is, and you go to college to pursue that. And so you get your four-year degree. While doing so, I accumulated student loan debt, probably $80,000 in student loan debt.
Yeah. Right?
And then the next logical step when you graduate with that piece of paper, and yes, it comes with experiences and things, so I'm not against this traditional path, but you graduate and you go into this traditional corporate 9-to-5 salaried safe position. You have mm-hmm. a safe salary, so you know you can pay your student loans and start developing a lifestyle for yourself. And so I followed that very traditional path, and I still learned a ton. So again, I'm not dissing the traditional path. I just feel like 17 and 18 year olds could be taught that there are alternative paths to take,
for
right?
Sure.
That is not the only path. But anyways, so I graduate from college. I start my traditional 9 to 5 while getting married, starting a family. And now I'm, you know, having kids and sending kids into daycare and leaving my house at 7 a.m. and dropping them off at daycare at 7:30, packing them up for the day, dropping them off, picking them up at 5, rushing home to try and make dinner and try and make a healthy dinner and sit down together. But it's like you're in frantic mode all the time, single day, Monday through Friday. Yep. And so over time, that just compounds, right? And I did it for, I'd say, 9 years, about 10 years. And I finally reached the point last year where I was like, there's a different way to go about this. There's a different way where I can be more present, more engaged with my family at the times when they need them. Because even though some of my kids are in school and daycare, or no longer daycare, but school or with a nanny or something, you still are their mother and they need you. At their field trips, they need you to bring their lunch that they forgot that morning. They need you when they're sick, right? So like, they still need you a lot. And I needed to be more focused there and not feel guilty about it. Now, I will say that the last position I had I was a chief marketing officer for an insurance firm. And again, I think very highly of them. And I did ask for a lot of that flexibility and I had more flexibility. One thing that I asked for was, I need to leave work at 3 o'clock every single day so that I can go pick up my kids and I can go home and help them with their homework and make a nice dinner and sit down and not be rushed during that time.
Right.
They need me during that time.
Yeah.
I don't want to send them to aftercare and pay $50 to do it, right? Like, I don't want to be rushing and not making healthy dinners and picking up McDonald's. Like, I need to be there. So they did allow me a little bit more flexibility, but again, that mom guilt just weighs on you. So then I'm trying to make up the hours early in the morning or on the weekends. And anyways, all of that to say, it just became stressful, it compounded. And that's when I said, there's a better way. And I took the alternative path of stepping down, being more present at home and having the flexibility and freedom to build my own business around the schedule that I need to have for my family.
Yeah. And what you just said, I agree. I mean, making that decision, I did it 2 years ago and it was just something to make that leap to being a solopreneur. And it's something that you said it's compounded. It's not something that a decision you make overnight, you start to think about it and consider it. And like you said too, I had, great, learning opportunities, great mentors, everything. I mean, the corporate world does allow you so much from it. But then when you do make that decision to make that leap, it's a hard decision, but when you make it, it's just like an amazing feeling to be able to have, like you mentioned, that flexibility standpoint. And for me, an area that I didn't consider 2 years ago, but it's the flexibility from the family standpoint, but for me, relative to my parents, because, and specifically my mom right now, because unfortunately she was diagnosed with cancer. And so owning my own business allows me to arrange my schedule. So I have the opportunity to help with my mom and spend more time with her. So currently I do appreciate having the ability and power to be able to balance both my work and life schedule. So, that's just a nice thing, just in life and in general.
Well, and Paula, I think that's a really great point. We a lot of times think as women, that it's only the childcare aspect, but it also becomes for most of us, it becomes that elder care as well, just as our parents, if we're fortunate enough to have them still with us, their care can also be a part of that. And I can definitely relate to, both of your stories on being in that corporate world and leaving to join entrepreneurship, because Danny, similar to you, I had a company that I loved. I loved working for them. The only difference here is that they were purchased by a bigger company and I didn't align with the values of that larger organization. And so what I also was finding at the same time is that my daughter was in school and actually needed me more emotionally And then that physical part of being the person who occasionally can be at the field trip. Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting because while she was in daycare as an infant and as a toddler and as a young child, didn't notice I was not there at all. But as she became old enough to be in school, she really wanted me to be that parent to occasionally help out at lunch or go on that field trip because she saw a lot of other parents, specifically moms, doing that. And she kind of felt like, wait, why aren't you wanting to be a part of this? And it goes back to that mom guilt then of, oh no, I do want to be a part of this. It's just not as easy for me as a mom that works outside the home and specifically within the corporate environment. Mm-hmm. I love to hear how the organization you came from afforded you that flexibility because I think organizations that do that are really winning the war on talent, so to speak. But mm-hmm. I also love that you really looked at, hey, you know what? This is what I want for me with regards to my career and then also my family. Mm-hmm. You know, because I really do think that, you know, having that flexibility and then also having that ability to own your own time, own your own clients. I know for me, that has really been a game changer. Mm-hmm. You know, I find that I do my best work with people and with clients that I trust. And sometimes when you're within an organization, you don't always get that level of trust. So I think, you know, that's one area. Now, pivoting into an area that is very near and dear to all of our hearts is when we spoke last week, you mentioned that with your business, one of the areas you really want to focus on is helping other women market their businesses. So for women who are new entrepreneurs, although you are also newer to being a solopreneur, Dani, what would you say would be the top three things that they should focus on when they're thinking about marketing and branding their business? What should they focus on first?
Really, really good question. I'd say the first thing, almost we'll call it step zero.
Step perfect.
Is making sure that you have a product or service that your customers or clients love, right? And the only way to do that is by testing it on people. So now this could vary from, let's say, if you sell t-shirts or own a restaurant or you're consulting or selling a product or service to businesses, right? So it can vary, but really getting crystal clear on what that product or service is, how it creates some sort of transformational experience for your customer or your client. And then once you have that, it's gathering. So now moving into the marketing and branding, it's gathering their feedback, asking them, you know, maybe coming up with 5 to 7 questions to say, you know, what did you find value? Let's say it's consulting. What did you find value in through this process? Where could I get better? How could I improve in this process? What will you take moving forward from this process, right? So it's like asking a couple of, I'd say 5 to 7 questions, keeping it simple, but spending some time with your clients and really getting some customer insight as to what they enjoyed about your product or service and what you can improve on. And then once you do that, let's say 5 or 6 times, you could be offering the service for free, right? And just to collect that feedback. Once you get that feedback really then informs second part of marketing, which is your messaging, your positioning, the copy that you put on your website, how you frame up the product or service that you're offering. Use your customers' words, use your clients' words and the feedback that they gave you in your messaging. There's a really good book. Actually, there's two. There's many, I should say, but two I would recommend would be, there's it's called Obviously Awesome from April Dunford. And she is an expert on positioning and messaging. creating messaging from the positioning. So she kind of walks through the framework on how to do that. And then Donald Miller has the book called Story Brand, and it helps you really plug content into the right places so that the messaging comes across to your client and they can understand it. So step zero is offering a product or service people love. The only way you'll know that is by gathering customer insight, client feedback, testimonials, things like that. Then moving into that messaging and positioning, using your client's feedback to inform the messaging and positioning. And I'd say the third thing would be then you should be ready to start building your personal brand. And I recommend a personal brand over a company brand if you are new, getting new off into your business, because people relate with people more than they relate with companies, especially small businesses, right? And so they want to connect with you and build trust with you on the personal level. And they're not going to do that through your logo. They're going to do that through the engagement and the ways that you build your reputation in the space.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Dani. When I first started 2 years ago, I originally thought that I needed to build, you know, my messaging on my business's LinkedIn page, Facebook page, but then realizing as I was doing my marketing training and everything that it is, you know, people relate to people, and it's so true. So I shifted then to just messaging on my own personal page, and it's a huge difference. You get to connect with so many people, you know, love engaging with people, love people engaging with me. So it's a huge shift, and, you know, wish I would have done that from the get-go, but glad I made that shift, because it's just amazing what being able to connect people personally, because like you said, people relate to people and you build trust. Mm-hmm. People don't build trust through just seeing a logo, like you said. So that's a great message to share with everyone.
And Paula, I love the books. I was going to say, you know, what's interesting is that it's really true. It's the same way about getting a new opportunity. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you find out a new opportunity through the people that you already know, and that will say, oh, hey, I know you, I know the work you do, I know the quality of work you do, I'm more than happy to refer you to that person. Or if you're looking to get into a different company, you know, if you're not an entrepreneur, of course, we can all comb, you know, Indeed all the time and different job boards, but a lot of times getting that new opportunity is through ourselves. Who we are and the connections that we're able to make.
Well, and that's the era of marketing we're really in now. I think in 2016, when, you know, we didn't have the sense of like community through social media. We had social media, yeah, but it's become more of a community place where people are hanging out. People are engaging in conversations. We also have this communities, which you know, is the future of Web3. Communities is a big area of focus where people are hanging out in what's called Discord channels or Slack. Mm-hmm. And when they need something, they're asking that community, hey, I'm looking for this type of talent. Do you know anybody? Hey, I'm looking for an accountant. Do you have anyone you would recommend? They're not going to Google as often and just randomly looking something up and reading a full blog and signing up for a product or service. They're going to their network, their peer network. Mm-hmm. And all of that is built and happening through personal brands on social networks and within communities. So that is where the future of marketing is moving.
Yeah, it's so true, because I'm even thinking of myself when I get information just for my business, I'm in those community groups, and that's where I go to first to ask the question, or someone's already posted the question. I see what the answers are. And you're so right. I do that first before I would Google anything, because I trust what people who are in the business, you know, what their answers are. Absolutely. So true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what do you feel about this new trend on TikTok? Do you think that's, you know, a great space for people to market their business on? I mean, I know I look at TikTok from a personally, but I've never thought about using it for my business. So wanted to get your thoughts on, is TikTok a good space to also market your business?
Really good questions. I'd say, you know, 3 to 6 months ago, I probably would have said it depends on your business. Yeah. Now, in this short period of time, now I'm saying, Yes, I think it's moving in the direction where it will make sense for all businesses. I don't know that right now is the exact time. I think right now is a great time for businesses to be playing and exploring and testing it, because the audience is moving in that direction. And I mean, you can look up all the statistics and demographics to see that. But this is a new way of creating content. There's a new way of using video and building video quickly without needing any editing skills. It's all native inside the platform. And video is such a powerful way to build your personal brand and to just build your company brand in general. And so I definitely think that TikTok is going to continue to evolve and become a master platform for businesses, just like Facebook did, just like Instagram did, just like LinkedIn did. TikTok is, in my opinion, as of right now, TikTok is next. I'm definitely in there testing and playing and building video content natively there. One strategy that I've used a couple times now is I'll build something in TikTok and then I'll post that TikTok video onto my LinkedIn platform.
Oh, sure.
Because I'm still figuring out the audience inside TikTok. I'm still trying to find the audience, but the algorithm to rank for whatever audience you're going for is incredible right now. So it's a great place to test and try and figure things out. And I definitely think it's part of the future of marketing for sure.
And I think that's definitely another, you know, another podcast. We'll connect back up with you, Danny. I mean, we can have so many topics with you, but definitely maybe like in 6 months from now to see like how, you know, all the data that you gathered from doing the TikTok and everything that you learned. And maybe I'll take a peek at it. You're way more comfortable doing videos than myself, but I mean, I enjoy looking at the content there. So agree with you that it is area that, you know, people who want to view, they get to see you, you know, they get to see your personality and see you and build that trust through video instead of just through, you know, writing style as well. So
now I will say, Paula, my first TikTok took like probably 40 minutes to an hour to build. Because I wasn't comfortable yet, right? Yeah. Like the platform, I couldn't figure things out quickly. I was like, okay, who's going to spend this long creating one piece of content? Like, we don't have time for this. But over time, the more you do it, you become way more comfortable. You mess up your words and you don't care. Like, you just put it out there because that's what the platform wants, that organicness from you. They don't want it pretty and polished and scripted and everything. And I had to learn that the hard way. So hopefully that moves you to the next step quicker.
Well, it probably take me all day. Yeah. Sorry, well, Kristen.
And Danny, what I love about you saying that, you know, it took you forever, but I also like that you said, hey, get in there now, start playing with it. Because when it does become, as you know, as we all believe it likely will, you know, where it becomes, people are going to go to TikTok and start looking for you on TikTok. By that point, it's like, oh, now it's really comfortable. I'm used to putting content out there. I'm gathering my audience because they're coming over from LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So I really like that, because as someone who's not on TikTok, I see a lot of people bringing that TikTok content over into other platforms to share it. And so it definitely, this definitely seems like we are headed in that direction for sure.
Yeah. And I would also say, like, overall though, you know, so many people will say, get on Facebook, get on Instagram, get on Snapchat, get on TikTok, get on Twitter. And it's a lot, especially as a solopreneur, it's a lot to try and do all of the platforms really, really well. And so I would suggest to the new business owners or like people just getting started with marketing, start with one, maybe two platforms that you feel really comfortable with. If it's writing and your audience is hanging out on LinkedIn, I guess that's the first thing is, where's the audience hanging out? Go where they're hanging out. If you are selling consulting services to a business, LinkedIn is a great place to be hanging out. And so go there, and maybe it's text posts, maybe you're good at writing, and start figuring that platform out. Once you got it down, then and you can scale that content, then move and test out another platform instead of like trying everything, because you're just going to burn out that way.
Yeah, so true. And Danny, one last question we have for you, and is one we're going to be asking all of our guests on the Savvy Session. And that is, what would you say is your superpower and how does it help you to succeed?
That's a deep one. I would say my superpower is my faith. I was fortunate to grow up in a family that really instilled faith at the foundation, at the root. And so I've noticed just as I've gotten older and have been able to really understand what that means to me and how I apply that to my life, my morals, my values, my family, my relationship with my husband, my relationship with work, right? It's just, it always keeps me like on the rails, focused on the right thing, heading in the right direction, right? It always pulls me back to just stay rooted in my morals and values, and also challenges me to say, and I question this, I write this out almost daily, is like, what am I called to do? What am I meant to do here in this earthly life? And how can I help and serve others in their capacity to like build those dream lives here on earth in whatever way, shape, and form that they can do that? So my faith is definitely like the root and the foundation of, so I don't know if we call it a superpower, but definitely like my guardrails, I'd say.
Well, and I love that, Danny, because I think it's always good to have something that grounds you, that you can always go back to and always have it be your compass to say, am I doing exactly what I want to do? Is this aligned with my values, with my morals? Does this, it sounds good. Is it still aligning with those, sure, those values? So I love that you shared that with us. So thank you very much. And Danny, thank you in general for speaking with us. It was such a pleasure to hear more about you, about your business. So thanks for coming on. And to learn more about Danny and her company, Azelli Marketing, go to the Savvy Session LinkedIn page for more details. We'll have all of Danny's contact information up there. Thank you all for listening, for joining us. And come back and listen again where we have our next session and we'll continue to discuss business, life, and fun.